Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
For the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Well, we made it.
All right. We are live.
That is a very good morning to everybody in the hospitality industry. Appreciate it. For those that are following along and we're like, hey, what's going on? TikTok. We were having some technical issues in the background, but here we are 12 minutes after the hour. Still fresh as a daisy.
We made it. It was all this time change. So we're all in different time zones.
Yep.
And a big shout out to Will Slickers for getting it all fixed up.
Thank you,
Will. And now I'm the captain of the ship. I'm actually running and producing here. So let's see if I mess anything up.
No, please. Yeah. So we should go ahead and talk about where we are, because for those that might be that are watching, yes, I'm actually in a different place. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia right now. Dirty South, ATL, all of the above. What?
And you're having a lot of fun there. You're celebrating someone's birthday. So yes, that's awesome to see.
I am here celebrating somebody's birthday and I'm in somebody else's home office right now. So hence a little bit of a different look, but you know,
this is what we made it. We made it and we're here for all of you watching. And if you're watching, we'd love to see where you're watching from.
Yeah.
Always give that role. We love seeing it. And for me, I'm here in Miami, but started the 50 hotel and 50 day challenge.
Okay. Yes. We have got to talk about this.
I'm very excited about this. So it came along. I was watching YouTube with my kids. They watched this, like, a bunch of different YouTubers. And one of them inspired me. This guy, Ryan Trahan.
Uh-huh.
30 million followers. Never heard of him. But he does these cool kind of challenges with his iPhone and like a basic camera. And just goes out and makes it happen. I said, you know what? I want to go do something fun. And this is the one that I decided to do. And so we've already been to 4 hotels in 2 days. So we're going to be highlighting one unique thing that is happening at each of these hotels, service or item.
Okay.
I have to go in unannounced. So I'm not scheduling this. That was one of the requests by a lot of people who voted. Can't be, you know, staged. Not scheduled.
Do you have a plan? Do you have it built out? Like you think you're going to go through?
I have the 50 hotels listed.
Okay. Good.
And I
don't need to share them. That's fine.
No, checking them off one by one. I went to one of them though. And they kicked me out. Security stopped me from filming. And I was shocked. I don't have a big camera. It's just like my phone.
No, totally. You know, it's so funny because we were talking about this backstage. But first of all, that's a hotel doing their job. So
yeah, great job to the security officer. He was given that task. He caught me in the first 3 minutes.
But then we were also talking about how, like, so many times, like, you can go and you're doing something and you're just totally left alone. But the one time that you go in with a mission... Of course, that's the day that security is paying attention.
I think I look too official. Like maybe I was just like, oh, he's already just like walking in and filming stuff. So I'm going to be a little bit more, you know, I'm going to downplay it a little bit. So I'll be doing it.
No.
We got Jeremy Weiss. Did you guys start early?
No.
Now, we don't know how to work clocks. We don't know how to work technology here.
We did not start early. Time has changed.
And we have people in different time zones where they didn't change the time. And LinkedIn had it set at a different time. So We're here.
We are at the time that we are supposed to be at after, is it after daylight savings? Is that what it is?
Yeah, we're after. Yeah.
Are we after? I don't know when they do that, but the clocks change. So welcome.
Thank you.
Apologies.
Yes. Thank you for being here. But so anyway, 50 days, 50 hotels.
I love that.
Journey has started. I'm excited, and we'll total it all up. So they're like 1.5 to 2 minute bite-sized episodes.
It's one unique thing.
And it's going to be hard because some of these hotels, you think like, all right, they don't really have anything that stands out, but I'm going to force myself to find one unique
thing. Oh my God. I thought you were going to say some of these hotels have so many things.
They have so many things. That's the other thing too. Like there's some hotels
that have
bowling alleys and ice skating rinks and basketball courts.
And those are the given.
Right. So how can I find something different? Maybe I include those. We'll see.
True.
But thank you for following along. And you can follow on the Hospitality Mentor on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. I'd love to be able to see you guys interacting.
I think it is so awesome that you are doing this, by the way. When I saw you post about it, I was so excited for you. So shout out. I love that you're doing this.
Thank you very much. And you help inspire me with a lot of our talks.
Yeah.
You know what people are doing. I was like, I don't know. I want to see this. So no one's doing it. Let me go do it.
And you know what? I love that it's always great to do a fun challenge like this as well, because you've got a goal, you know, and it creates a bit of excitement for you even as a creator to go, okay, we have this mission.
Get it accomplished. I gotta make sure I'm not hungry when I go. I was getting a little hangry towards the end of the fourth one. Something wasn't working right in the hotel and I felt myself being annoyed with, what am I doing here? Continue on, because people like Jeremy are watching and commenting, so I love it.
Do not get hangry. So, by the way, anybody that is tuning in with us right now, I know that something was off. Maybe the timing is funny, or even the LinkedIn link might be funny. But if you are, tell us where you're joining from. We'd love to hear. But why don't we go ahead and dive into some of our topics today, because we've got a lot of good ones. So,
yes, let's do it.
And we want to be mindful for the time. Okay, so... All right. Starting off with some hotel topics. Love what's going on this with Hyatt Regency. They check in and work out. Hyatt Regency is now debuting a new collaboration with a personal training platform called Future to enhance guest well-being. And so for those that basically don't know, I mean, Future is its own platform in and of itself. You can actually get a 1 month you can get monthly memberships with it, and it's about $199 a month. Now, Hyatt Regency in particular is launching this partnership with Future at 26 of their hotels around the U.S. And for if you happen to be staying at the hotel and you log on or experience the Future workout, you will actually get a month of a free membership, which I thought was really cool. I love how they're thinking outside the box with that.
No, I really like it. And, you know, I like what Hyatt's doing a lot recently. I was never a huge Hyatt fan in the past, but now I've been meeting so many of the leaders and seeing what they're doing. And they're just trying to always push the ball on what they're doing health-wise and sustainability-wise. So
totally.
I really like this. I wish it was something in person too, like a hybrid thing. Cause sometimes it's hard to get on an app or get on the iPad or on the TV.
But it's also hard to do that. Cause it's like, what are you going to do? Have trainers in these 26 hotels,
yeah.
That's 26 trainers. Is it every day? Is it like part of the day? You know, how are they? So, I mean, I get it, but I do like the thinking outside of the box with it. And as you said, I mean, look, go Hyatt. You are like forging your own path in all of this, which is awesome.
Yeah. I like to see how it goes, because for a big time, like Peloton was big for a while. Like people were traveling to hotels.
Yeah,
I had Pelotons during the pandemic and after.
Still,
even my wife is still the same way. Like, they have a Peloton bike there. So I haven't heard of Future until now. So that's good for Future that they got this shout out. I checked them out.
Totally. Really, that's actually a great example. I love that you said that. What a great example. Because I personally had, and I'm a workout fiend, but I had not heard of Future. So this really helped put them on the map as well too. So.
Yeah, I think I love seeing these things. That's why I think that brands like this should really tap into hotels, whether you're consumer, any kind of consumer brand.
Yeah.
You want to get in front of your potential clients. And these are good ways, whether it's clothing or apps or, you know, plateware or dishware, like whatever it might be, or fashion. I love seeing those collaborations.
So long as you have a consistent product and you can deliver at scale, whatever that is, that's definitely the way to go. Totally the way to go. All right.
Let's keep it rolling. Okay, we talked about this a little bit ago, but there's been updates. So for everybody that might be remembering, Choice was trying to do a hostile takeover of Wyndham. Mm-hmm. I still think it's hilarious that these are what the headlines are, that Choice is going to do a hostile takeover. I'm like, everybody calm down. Like,
battle it out. Their stock prices.
No. So for those that have been paying attention to that, Choice has now terminated their hostile takeover of Wyndham. Basically, what they ended up realizing is that they weren't getting enough support. And at that point, they were just like, okay, we have to take a step back. But what were you seeing in regards to this?
Yeah, look, it was interesting. First off, when two companies don't want to work together, one really wants to take over the other. And Choice Hotel just never had the support of that I'm sure they thought they had at the beginning. I'm sure someone in Wyndham, one of the big stockholders, was telling Choice, like, hey, we need you to take over. And then that support waned when the headlines kept coming out and the support got stronger and stronger. And now Wyndham initiated a stock buyback to control more of their stock. So that just got announced. So they dropped it. Now they got approved to buy back some of their stock. So not as many shares are out there. So interesting to see what's going on.
Very interesting to see. Again, I still just, one day, hopefully they just stop using the language, the hostile.
But I get it. Like, if I was Wyndham, I mean, it's a publicly traded company, and then all of a sudden somebody wants to buy your company when you didn't want to be for sale. And
yeah,
the executives, they were going to be worrying about their jobs, because that's part of why you would join, is you get rid of the fluff. Mm-hmm. Right?
Ooh, fluff. We're not calling people fluff.
But you know what I'm saying. That's what you do. You join up and then you see the layoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, right? For sure. No, of course, because they end up merging. So a lot going on with that. So anyway, for those that have been following along, that you can take a sigh of relief, and that will not be happening. So you'll
still be able to stay at your Choice Hotels and your Wyndham Hotels.
Mm-hmm. And not worry about a merge. All right.
I like this one.
I am stoked about this. So Mattel, as for the toy company, as well as Atlantis Paradise Island, unveiled that they are going to be doing a Barbie Bahamas beach vacation experience. Yes, this is the hotel experience that we have been waiting for. And no, I'm not just saying that just because I'm a female, and yes, I played with Barbies, but how awesome off of the coast. First of all, I'm surprised it wasn't even done sooner, but off of the success of the coattails of the Barbie movie, I love that Atlantis Paradise Island is going to be doing this. And they've got, it's more than just Barbie themes, but I mean, it really is this whole interactive experience. Obviously, you're going to have rooms. They've got, I love this, Barbie culinary adventures. I'm like, what's Barbie eating?
A lot of edible sparkles. I can see it.
Barbie inspired kid adventures, Barbie movie nights. But what I really cannot wait to see are the guest rooms and the cabanas that they're doing. Because how fun, like, what a great fun way to just enhance like what you're offering, and then also playing into the whole pink theme too.
Yeah, again, gigantic pink hotel, a good backdrop for every picture you're gonna take.
Yeah,
I'm pretty confident I would feel Ken enough sitting poolside with my sunglasses on, watching all the Barbies roll around.
You're kidding up. You're kidding up for this.
And after seeing Ryan Gosling do his thing on the Oscars, which was the best part of the whole show, this is like a perfect time to announce this, because it like brought that spark back to see what was going on.
Totally. And the other thing as well, so for those that might be interested, they're going to basically launch this or debut it over Memorial Day weekend, and they're going to extend it through the summer. So a lot of people are going to be able to participate in this, should you want to. But how fun. And for those that are keeping track, this is actually Barbie's 65th anniversary. So that's wild.
Amazing. And so what's cool is that it still has this energy going about this movie, mm-hmm. that it still continues on, mm-hmm. going into a year later almost.
Oh, right? Totally.
It came out last summer and it's still going. And here in Miami, they have a smaller version of this that everyone seems to be going to that has family, and they're all taking pictures in Wynwood, which is usually an artsy kind of adult neighborhood. They set up a Barbie restaurant and now everyone's going there to take pictures.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wait, like, have you been yet?
I have not been yet, but I will be going.
I'm really curious what they're going to serve at a Barbie restaurant.
It's got to be just like good old Americana food, would be my guess. But I will check the menu and I will report back.
Please report back. Report back, because that is actually, I find that very fascinating.
Like, I really thought the Willy Wonka movie, if it was any, like, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't talk about it.
I saw it.
I really thought like that would take off, but it wasn't a good movie. So I thought more milkshakes and candy specials and things like that would be going on.
Would be cool. So here was the problem with the Willy Wonka movie. And yes, we are briefly turning this show into a movie review.
What do we got?
Enjoyable, certainly enjoyable, but it was a musical and none of the new songs were remarkable. None were remarkable. They were fine. They got the job done. But the big chuckles and the big laughs were when they ended up singing the old classics and the old favorites. You know, that was like, oh, yes, that's where that you got like the payoff as the viewer. But it was definitely. That was, you know, kind of it. And it was also almost a little bit too fantastical. I mean, I get it. It's Willy Wonka. Like, nobody's looking for that to be. By the way, I love this. Jeremy, we need a James Bond hotel. Dude, that would be amazing.
It'd be very cool. It would just be very nice, right? Or be adventurous.
Ooh, what are some other hotels? What are some other branding? So you remember when they did the Taco Bell hotel, which, by the way,
yes,
we all know about my random love for Taco Bell, which is not on brand, but it's my guilty pleasure. you're judging me right now.
It was just funny because we talk about that YouTuber, and one of the things he does, he goes to every fast food restaurant and tries to buy the most expensive item they can make. And he goes to Taco Bell and they happen to win, I think. So it was just in my head from watching this weekend. And we're like, let's go order that thing.
What are some other interesting themes that hotels could tie into? I mean, obviously, like anything with the movies. But I love when they do these co-branding with, and we did talk about this briefly on an episode.
Yep.
Months ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Bond Room exists.
They gave us the link.
Stop. Okay, we're going to have to definitely check that out.
That's everybody. So cool. Check out the link if you're watching, and if you're listening to in your car, you can watch the video to see the link here on the screen.
But it adds something. And by the way,
Thank
you, Rob. You don't have to do the entire hotel. I'll just do a random shout out to the Sheraton Universal. By Universal Studios in Los Angeles. I actually don't know if they still have this room. I would presume so, but when I did go visit it, they had a Shrek room because they're right across the street from Universal, and they had this great Shrek room. They might have changed it now. Maybe it's Super Mario Brothers, but how fun to just tie in. And the Cheshire has a lot of themed rooms. Themed rooms are interesting.
But this is what I think vacation rentals, so our Monday show talks about, is the short-term rentals and vacation rentals, especially in Orlando. Man, they go all out, and you feel like you're going into that universe, like into a Harry Potter home and into these kind of places. So I think like where we talk about both industries can learn things from each other. That's something that I wish hotels would do a little bit more, because these people spend thousands and thousands of dollars on bedrooms to make them themed so that it's unique. Stay there.
Well, and it's like, know your audience, know your destination, but then have fun with it and know that it might not appeal to everybody, but for those that it will appeal to, they're going to dig it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I love that.
And thanks for sharing, everybody.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. We got a couple travel topics here. Love this. Okay. As we all know, we have our good friends over at Forbes. Forbes Travel Guide, and they recently shared this, I believe it was last week, the four top luxury travel trends. And they had talked about this at their summit, but we could not do a show and not touch on these luxury travel trends, because again, being in hotels, being in home rentals, but whatever aspect of hospitality, it's cool to see what trends are out there and what makes... like, what's resonating with you? Like, what are you seeing? I always love to see what people are saying. This is what's happening. And then I'll be like, oh, yeah, I see that. Or I haven't seen that yet. Whatever it is. So
should we go over the top four that they said? The top four. We'll say the four and then we'll go through some of them. How about that? So the top four, no particular order, is well-being is here to stay. So well-being travel. A rise in solo travel, which I can attest to. I took a solo trip, and I have a family, so I took a solo trip last year. Business travel is finally rebounding. Mm-hmm. and a demand for smaller city travel. So those are the four that they announced there. And look, we just talked about well-being, and they mentioned one of the hotels in my backyard, the Carillon Wellness Resort, which takes it very seriously. They're not going to be...
They have a bio station.
Bio station. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll give a plug to this new client of mine called Monkey Brass. They are creating ice baths that create their own ice, and they look very luxurious. So they're trying to get into hotels. So it's a new client of mine. I'll give them a shout out.
Like a self-sustaining ice bath? Sign me up.
I've never used an ice bath. So they're like, you got to see. I have not yet. I've been in the cold waters, but not like...
Oh, no. You need to do it, and you need to document the moment.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if you can tell. I'm losing some weight. I'm working out. I'm getting healthy. Yeah, so let's see.
And you have to play Ice Baby before you die.
Done deal.
That's like a given. All right.
Solo travel is another big one.
Yeah. Oh wait, can I just say one other thing about the wellness is that longevity seems to be the wellness buzzword. And why I like that is, you know, it's not wellness as in just a spa or anything like that. Like we're really talking about what can we do for longevity? So there is this theme of biohacking, which we touched on a couple weeks ago. And I thought it's taking it to the next level. Wellness is not just like, oh, we have a spa, we have a fitness center, but it is really stepping it up a lot.
Yes, I agree with you. I love seeing that too.
Rise in solo travel. Now this was interesting because what they actually said in this particular article is that loneliness is one of the biggest and fastest growing crises in the world, which is sad, but also we can totally see it, especially after the pandemic. But more than a quarter of the U.S. households only have one person, which is the highest ever in history. And so people are looking to solo travel as a means to connect with people, which is, I get it. I totally get it. Cause I always say cause I live alone. And so when I travel, I definitely feel like, oh, that's my social time. And then when I come home, I'm like, oh, I'm cool. I'm chill. But yeah, it's definitely social time when I'm on the road for sure.
Would you do a solo cruise? Because now I see cruises are offering like solo rooms, because usually sometimes they'd be like you have to have two people in a room where they charge you a little bit more.
Oh, totally. I mean, and funny, because in fact, next month I'm going on a cruise in essence solo, as in I don't know anybody. I mean, I'm sure I will bump into people I know when I get on the ship, but I'm going solo. So it's also like a conference on a cruise ship. So it's a little bit of a different, a different setup.
So, but you can still meet people and see things.
Totally. And it's actually kind of cool because when we go to dinner, it's like, you just show up to dinner and then they randomly put people together. So every night you're sitting at a table with different people, not a bad way to just meet other individuals when you're traveling.
I think it's very cool. Are you someone who can go to dinner by themselves and to the movie by themselves?
Ooh, movie, yes. Dinner, no. I do not like, I've done it before, but it's just, that's a good question. Like, that's just not something that I enjoy doing, because it's like, no. Or I will do it, but then I'm like, I'm on my phone. I'm like, this is weird. I might as well be in my room. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you see, so when I was really young, right out of college, I was always social. I was always around people. And I ended up in a city where I didn't know anybody. And I remember I was like, I'm going to go to dinner by myself. Like, this is weird. And I started to do it.
Did you like it?
I actually like it. Yeah. Not all the time, but I don't mind. I enjoy it. I have my time. I get to kind of do my thing. I don't have to worry about anybody else. And I'm good.
So two things. A, I think it's different if you're a guy versus a female. You know what I mean? Like for me, I'm like, who's going to come up and talk to me? This is going to be freaking weird. Also, no, it's true though.
Can I get you a drink?
Like, sitting at the bar? Like, I'm not going to sit at a bar. Like,
you come here often, Sarah?
Yeah, I do. Oh my gosh. Did you try the garlic bread? No. But the other thing is I like to sample and try a lot of different foods, but I only have one stomach. The sad part about dining by myself is like, I can't try that many foods because I'm just like, I can't eat that much food. So that's why I like to eat with other people. So you can try all sorts of different things.
All right. So noted, when you dine with Sarah, she's like getting a fork on your plate.
We are sharing food. Okay. No non-sharers allowed at the table.
Well, talking about not being by yourself, business travel is blowing up. because part of my travels at the hotels yesterday, I visited three hotels, all in the downtown Miami area, were packed with conference people wearing their tags, lobbies packed, ballrooms emptying. So it is true. And these three hotels were booming at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's awesome. I mean, again, it's like these individuals are spending more when they're traveling. It's a different, I always said when I worked at the, when I was working in hotels, I mean, you have all sorts of travelers, but I really did enjoy the business travelers just because it's like, they knew what they want. And it would just be, they were pretty direct. And you know, they understood like the cost of things, whereas sometimes with leisure travelers, they're like, I don't know. And then it's this, or maybe the stakes are too high, are really, really high because it's their vacation, or they're very, very like, just extremely cautious of budget. Totally fine and understandable, but I generally found that business travelers were a little bit easier to work with in general.
And as an executive, it's way better because you know what to expect. Like, this is how much business I have on the books. Great. I've got my hotel 50% or 60% full of business. Now I just got to fill it in with these transients versus 3 years ago where it's like, oh my God, we got to sell all these rooms to people that are traveling and transient guests. So it's a lot easier to plan, better for staff because they know what to expect. They have consistent schedules. Everyone's making consistent money during the busy season. So great on both sides.
And it's not just business travel, but we've talked about this before, leisure travel. And so to give you an idea, 62% of business travelers say that they're going to be doing more leisure travel than they did in 2019. And what, so basically 42% are adding on personal days to their business trips. And then I love this number, 79% of these travelers are staying at the same hotel for their business and vacation portions of their trip. So if they are already going to be staying at your hotel for the business aspect and they want to stay a couple days for vacation, they will most likely, 79% of them are going to stay at the same hotel. I can attest to that for sure. I don't want to necessarily move if I don't have to.
Especially if it's a nice place.
Yeah.
A lot of these conferences are really nice places with great amenities and good place to hang out.
And then they're like, okay, what, so maybe their work covered the first X number of nights. And then they're like, I can cover the next two nights or three nights, however much longer they end up staying. So pretty smart.
And then we can touch really quickly on the smaller city growth. And I can say that's for sure for me now, because there's so many small towns across our country that I've never been to. And I'm getting more and more interested in seeing these places, especially in Florida. There's like these little towns around these natural springs and nature and things like that, that I've just never gone to. And I want to go explore them. Yeah. What about you? You go to a lot of cool places.
Oh, I do. And I've got, it's so interesting because I go to a lot because I do travel a lot for work, AKA for clients. And a lot of my clients have been smaller destinations within the United States. So they kind of talk about places like Nashville, Tampa. I was in Louisville, Bardstown, you know, I mean, it's not to say that Americans are not going to continue traveling internationally or to Europe, but you know, a lot of people have done that the past couple of years. People will still continue to flock there. You've got the Olympics this summer. There are many, many reasons to continue, traveling to Europe and other parts of the world. But for many Americans, whether they have families or they don't have as much time to take off, they are choosing to explore these smaller destinations within the United States. And hello, America's massive. It will take you forever to explore all of the United States before you would like start to overlap. So I love seeing this trend. I think it's great because there's so much to discover here.
Yeah. And you mentioned this kind of transitioned perfectly into our next story is that I was watching on TikTok this guy who came from England to the United States for the first time.
Yes.
He's like, you don't understand how big this country is. Like, there's so much going on and every state is like a different country.
Totally.
And so I watched his little stories on TikTok and now that's what people are doing. Travel on TikTok is the top trends, longer videos and future of booking trips.
Yes.
We're saying about TikTok.
So
what do you think about that?
Oh my God. Well, first of all, I have been harping on the fact that a couple things. So I've been harping on the fact for a very, very long time and stats have changed over the years, but like almost in this, it said something 60% of users in, and they were talking about specifically in Europe, were going to TikTok to get inspiration on where to go and where to stay. In the stats that I had seen, and I can talk about at least for the United States, it was something like 82%. So 82% of travel decisions are based off of what they have seen from social media. So not necessarily just TikTok, but TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Yes, can it be from influencers? Sure, but it can also be from their friends and family based off of where they're posting. So, look, if you are a property or a destination, you just have to have your stuff out there where your future clients or guests or visitors are hanging out, and they're hanging out on social. Yes. So,
and security, don't kick me out, okay?
Yeah, dude.
true. That's where I start looking a lot too, is on social media. So before I plan a trip, one of my favorite things to do really is go on to Instagram, search it, and then go to places.
Yeah.
Because then I can see everyone that tagged that place.
Yes.
And I love seeing the real side of kind of what's going on, because you see everything. Totally. Sometimes things you don't want to see. But there's a lot of things that makes it seem like, all right, I can feel the vibe of this place.
Well, you know, whether it's, your For You page or your, your homepage, whatever it is, you know, it's curated to you. And I always discover different places. I'm like, oh, I don't know where that, I've never seen that place. That's kind of awesome. Oh, and it's not too far away. Great to know. And so I'm always discovering new destinations that way. But in this particular article, and it was a Skift article, some of the key things were talking about how inspiration is a big part of what the travel content is. We know this. Also different trends as far as food and fitness and fashion. Obviously, food and travel go hand in hand. That goes without saying, but like a lot of foodies are doing these sort of like, we'll travel for food pieces of content. But then also fitness, that's growing as well. People are traveling and they're not necessarily just wanting to go and party at a destination. Maybe they're going and they're doing a wellness retreat and they're not drinking alcohol. We've seen this big trend as well too. More and more people are not drinking alcohol. Hence the reason why restaurants, hotels, whatever, are offering more mocktail options. But it's been neat. Have there been some other things that you've seen on here?
I mean, look, on social, I love seeing, I think it's becoming more authentic stuff versus stage stuff. That's why I'm seeing the transition here to less staged, less high, definition and like perfectly executed.
Yep.
So that's what inspired me. And I'm hoping that is valuable to somebody else.
Totally. And the final thing from this article that I think is the biggest takeaway, and because I actually, if I would have been more of a tech person, this was something that I wanted to create. I just didn't know how to end up doing it and what the APIs and the legality were around it. How do you shorten the booking path from what people are seeing something online to then ultimately booking a trip? Yes, we see, we've all seen social media where they're like, oh, look at my cute sweatshirt. I got it from Nordstrom. Super easy. But that's like a $40 purchase. Obviously, it takes a lot more thought to go into a $4,000 purchase. So it looks like, and they said here, they were basically like, watch this space that hopefully at some point TikTok users might be able to book travel through their platform. And I'm excited about that because I don't know, will that shake up the whole,
okay model? I think so.
Yeah, the GDS model, which is archaic and needs to be, I'm sorry, I'm just saying it. It's archaic and it totally needs to be shaken up. Or are they just going to basically build on top of it, which is probably more likely what they'll do. But, one can always dream. So.
But there's a whole group of people out there and people that we've met that are all saying, because they have very popular Instagram destinations, that they get most of their bookings through Instagram now.
Yeah.
They're getting DM, they send a link and they book. They just want it to make it smoother. And that will become another OTA, like, your stuff on this channel.
Yep.
Make sure you're out there if you're not.
Totally. So we'll end on this final topic here, is that basically the most dangerous TikTok travel hack, because obviously we're talking about people are going to TikTok to get travel inspiration, learn all of that. This is also where it can go wrong. And this is why we have to be a good digital citizen. Somebody basically said, I have a seatbelt hack for when they're flying on a plane, and it's the ankle seatbelt hack. So they're actually still, putting on their seatbelt, but they're not putting it around their waist. They're putting it around their ankle, and they're trying to get other people to do it, which I think is just the most ridiculous thing because it is not safe.
Come on, people.
I know.
Come on. We're smarter than this, but there's a lot of dumb people out there. You see it all the time, especially on X now. You see all this
crazy stuff going on. True. Don't be all dumb. Right. Real-time recap. You ready for that?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Real-time recap. Mine is great because now I get to visit all these hotels and I'm seeing the best
all over the-
of people. And so I'll give a shout out to this video that came out today to the Intercontinental Hotel in Miami. Everyone was very nice as I was walking around, just kind of asking questions like, hey, what time is the pool open? Or what time does this happen? And everyone was genuinely nice and they didn't know who I was there and just very nice there. So great, great, great hotel.
I love that. My real-time recap, I'm giving a shout out to Delta. We all know I'm a Delta fan, but I have to say, like, I don't know what Delta does with their training. I would love to find out, but they are so, they're in general, like they're good. And the interactions that I have with people, I mean, it's, I'm consistently impressed all the time. And so I flew out from Los Angeles to Atlanta yesterday. And, you know, just one of the flight attendants, I was like, you're just so nice.
And what was it about them being nice? Is it just they're very nice to you? Is there anything else about it?
No, it was like the personality. It didn't seem, they didn't seem, You know, they didn't seem tired. They seemed genuinely engaged. They weren't annoyed by people's requests. Because it wasn't just me. I was also paying attention as they were interacting with other people on the flight, and they were just like, absolutely, yeah, sure. And awesome. But it was coming from a genuine place that they weren't tired, you know, and that was nice to see, because I get it. I mean, it's like, it's traveling. It can be tiring, especially if you've done it for however long. So shout out to Delta for just doing it right.
See, I had to ask that question to buy myself some time to figure out if I could add the quote of the week on the screen. Let's see, I could do it.
Okay, this was actually a quote from my book. Okay, I'm just going through, but it wasn't my quote. This interviewed Robert Marks, who is the chef concierge in San Diego. He's at the Omni, but he was also past president of Le Clé d'Or, the Gold Keys of Concierge. For those that know, I was part of that. I'm still part of that as an affiliate member, but I love that he said this. He said, the way that you approach a conflict says a lot about how it's resolved. Which is so true. And conflicts or challenges happen when you're at work, but it's how you approach it. Especially when you're dealing with a guest, sets the tone for everything.
Yeah. Cause some people take it personally. Don't take it personally.
No.
Yes. There's some people who might be aggressive with you, and if they touch you or spit at you or curse at you, don't mess with them. But your approach can always be professional. I could only imagine someone going to Sarah and seeing her smile and making sure I'm going to handle this while she's raging inside. She was going to have the right approach.
Ooh, I've had people rage at me. That'll be a story.
I'm sure.
I've had people, nobody threw anything at me, but like I've had people get a little physical, like up in my face. And I'm like, can you not be up in my face, please?
It's happened to me a bunch. I think I smile like this and it gets them more angry and I can't stop smiling.
You're like, sorry. Yeah. No, it's tough. It's totally tough, but that is the nature of what we do.
Yeah, that's how it goes. But I think that's a great quote and a great place to end our show today.
Yes.
That you and I are producing on
our
own.
We are mainly producing. Let's be honest.
Driving in the background here.
Exactly. I just help with the topics. But no, this was great. So by the way, thank you all for those that did end up joining us on the live. I know we started a little bit later.
But early for some. That's why I think some of us are messaging us like it started a little early. Hey, we'll figure it out. We got it for you next one.
Next week, we'll be back. It'll be good. Stay tuned. We'll be in our normal places. Well, I will at least. And it's good.
Yeah. We'll see you next week. If I see you out of these hotels, make sure to say hello.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Hold on, guys. I got this button.